Cast of the Champions, Episode 7. Welcome to another wonderful look at the current state of the professional wrestling scene. I am your host, Mike, and this is Episode number 7. Again, welcome, and going to cover the last couple weeks. I know it's been 2 weeks since I've been on here. Got a couple SmackDowns to cover, a couple Raws to cover, talk about some rumors going around, just the general stuff that I cover on this show. But again, welcome. You can catch me on Twitter at Cast of Champion, and or at Mike Spiesman, whatever floats your boat. Go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Cast of the Champions, all one word. Give us a like. I try to post some things up there every now and then. Made a couple memes this week having to do with my podcast and my friend Paul's podcast. If you want to check that one out, that's the NitroCast. Check him out, iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podomatic itself too, where you can listen to the old school WCW wrestling as seen by a very, very handsome fellow with a wonderful beard. It's just so easy to get into it. His beard, it's beautiful. His name is Paul, my BFF. He's a good guy. You see what I did there? You see what I did there? I didn't say anything about anything bad. Yep. Just remember that. So, today I'm going to start off with the January 31st SmackDown. Before we do that, I'm just going to, one more time, I'm going to mention something about the CM Punk saga. And that is, and you all probably know it by now, that he has not said a fucking word about walking out. It's been quiet. Right now, all it really seems is it's all hearsay or what people think and all that stuff. Hey, you know what? It is what it is. A lot of people really hope that he's going to be back for WrestleMania. I honestly don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just one of those stone cold things where you're probably not going to see. You'll see him again on WWE, but it won't be for maybe a year, maybe 2 years. So just get used to him not being on TV. I've learned to accept it. There's plenty of other people on the roster to get excited about. Just got to deal with it. And following Twitter and everything and just hearing some of the shit going on, because the wrestling, the shows I'm about to cover, not the greatest run of shows by WWE that they've produced. Really, really not. So, and then it just seems like everybody on Twitter says, oh, it's because CM Punk isn't there. I'm telling you, they're not going to change the product. It's not going to make any better if he's there having his little feud with Kane, going in the Elimination Chamber just to face Triple H at WrestleMania. So, it's time to get over it. Life goes on. Punk's already done that. You know, and it's just like Paul was saying over there on a NitroCast. You know, everything you see about CM Punk is the guy's a prick. In real life, he's an asshole. He doesn't really talk to fans too much, and he's just a total dick to everybody, which is fine. You know, I mean, I'm a big Barry Bonds fan, and that was probably the biggest dick in the world. But it is what it is. He doesn't care what people think about him leaving. He saved money, and he's gone. And as far as he's concerned, that's okay. There was a picture servicing of him holding a beer, so I don't know if he decided to partake in a couple alcoholic beverages or it was just a well-placed shot of a beer in the pitcher. I don't know, but that's his prerogative. Straight edge may not be my thing, but it's his and a lot of other people's. So that's really, besides the little innuendos and on wrestling that I'll cover, that's really the only thing I'm really going to mention about CM Punk. Oh, another thing before I get started, I talked to Paul the other day, and the Friday, I should say, before WrestleMania, we are going to do basically a simulcast. I'm going to be down there in his neck of the woods, down there in Jamestown area, and we're going to co-record a show together where we're going to talk about not just the WrestleMania 30, you know, because it'll be like 2 days away, but we're going to talk about our favorite moments in probably each WrestleMania, just a WrestleMania extravaganza show. That's going to be the NitroCast of the Champions, I guess you could call it. So be ready for that. It's about a month and a half away there, so should be a fun time. Anyway, let's get down to business. I'm going to start off with the January 31st SmackDown that came to you recorded from Toledo, Ohio. show started off, you know, just highlighting what happened at the end of Raw, which was the match with the 3-on-3 tag match where the winners got the Elimination Chamber spots, and just kind of talked about the Shield getting screwed out of there, blah 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 blah. Come back, Shield. The show starts with the Shield coming out. They're out there just really just a bitch about getting screwed out of being in there. You know, they kind of have a little bit of a back and forth with each other between Ambrose and Reigns, just showing the inevitable breakup for them coming up. It pretty much ended with, you know, Reigns saying he's not apologizing for throwing Ambrose out of the Rumble. It was every man for himself. And Ambrose says he won't sneak up on him the next time. Maybe he'll do it to his face. And they get in each other's faces, and Seth Rollins is the guy in the middle, and he says that he has had enough of this petty crap. He said they are the Shield, they're the most dominant force in the history of the company. This is their yard, and they have intruders. And he's talking about the Wyatt family. They are the reason they're not in the Elimination Chamber. Rollins doesn't know why they did that on Monday, but he doesn't care. But he does know they need to be dealt with. Rollins actually calls Ambrose the greatest United States champion he's ever seen, which I guess in the almost year he's had the belt, he's defended maybe 6 times. They say that by no one has the guts to challenge him for the belt. So, you know, whatever. What else? Shield isn't going to win the WWE Championship at the Elimination Chamber, so they'll do the next best thing. They want to face the Wyatt family. They want to wipe them off the face of the earth. Ambrose tells the Wyatts to consider that a challenge. Vicky Guerrero comes out, says that's a brilliant idea, that the match that no one dreamed would ever happen is going to happen. She's going to make history. Triple H comes out, and he comes out to a bunch of boos from the crowd. He takes the microphone, Vicky, and she goes to bat. Triple H gets in the ring of the Shield. Triple H says he understands where they are coming from. The Wyatts cost him an opportunity to get in the Elimination Chamber. This pretty much costs them the opportunity to be the champion. But it's water under the bridge. Triple H tells him to let it go. He asks him to trust him. There is no profit in this. There's nothing to benefit or gain. All there is more problems. Triple H says that to let this one go. Rollins says that with all due respect, he has to look at this from their perspective. Triple H says he has, and it wasn't a request. Ambrose angrily reacts to that. Triple H tells them once again to let it go. Reigns gets in his face, and he says Triple H doesn't understand. They're not asking for his approval. The crowd then begins the chant for Reigns, which is just kind of showing that, hey, this might be our next guy. Triple H says he can see by the look in their eyes that there's no talking them out of this, and the fight's going to go down no matter what. Triple H asks the crowd is what they want, and they say, of course they do. And he said that he'll do what's best for business, and they will get their match. So the Shield will get the Wyatt family at the Elimination Chamber. So kind of a segment that went on a little long, a lot of talking going on, but it set up the match that everybody wanted to see before the Shield's inevitable breakup. So you're going to have the Shield and the Wyatt family at the Elimination Chamber. So it should be an interesting match. First match of the night after commercial break is Dolph Ziggler versus Antonio Cesaro. And don't get used to the Antonio Cesaro name, because you're going to find out later they're not going to be his name anymore. Colder sign says illegals make me ill, and the other sign says I prefer aliens from Mars. His signs are killing me. That's the best part about this whole gimmick right now. Cesaro Pearl Harbor jobs Ziggler to start the match. Bunch of back and forth. Cesaro taunts the fans near the end, putting Ziggler in the corner. Cesaro catches him with a double underhook suplex. Some more match. As Ziggler goes for a zigzag, Cesaro holds on to the ropes. Cesaro then does a Cesaro swing with 7 little loops. I don't know. I might be the only one who thinks that thing is just ridiculous. What does it really do besides make everybody dizzy? And they don't even get dizzy, so I don't even know what the point of it really is. He then hits the neutralizer, and he gets the win. So Antonio Cesaro will be in the Elimination Chamber match. I also have to add here that before I started, this is actually the first official show. Even though it was recorded on Tuesday, the news broke about CM Punk on Tuesday, But I just don't think the fans, they were really quite in on it because they didn't. This show, either they're edited out or you just didn't hear any real CM Punk chants going on. So, but Raw the next day will be. Go to commercial break. Back commercial, R-Truth on commentary. It's Xavier Woods with the Funkadactyls versus Fandango in another Jobber versus Jobber match. Kind of ends at the end where Summer Rae grabs a sign from Emma, who's out there. She breaks the sign over her leg and picks up another sign and continues to happily wave it around. This has distracted everyone in the ring. Fandango then grabs Woods on the top rope and connects with the Falcon's Arrow for the win, so Fandango gets the win. But the main thing about this was Emma was not just in the crowd with her signs. She actually kind of got involved a little bit. So they're going to have looks like they'll have a little feud with Summer Rae going forward. After the match, Fandango continues to beat on Woods, but R-Truth makes a save. And then hits his little suplex stunner combination before he checks on Woods. Then dance with the ring and the Funkadactyl. So, yeah, that's about it. Then we get an advertisement before they go to commercial that Christian will be back, will make his return tonight, and he'll face Jack Swagger for his the Elimination Chamber qualifying match later tonight. Next match is Curtis Axel and Ryback versus the Primetime Players. Really quick match. Ends with Ryback kicking Darren Young in the chest, hitting with that big meat hook clothesline, and Axel comes in. He hits the turning heads for the win. What happened looked good. It was after the match. Tyson O'Neil looks pretty upset in the apron. Young is bleeding from his mouth. O'Neil gets in the ring and he starts yelling at Young for losing in 2 minutes. O'Neil is about to walk off, and then Young gets on a microphone and asks what he's doing. Young says they're more than just a team. They're like brothers. They're like a family. O'Neil says they're not family. Ever since he's partnered with Young, it's the first time he's ever been known as a loser. He's been a winner all his life, and he came to WWE to be the man. He came to the WWE to be the champion. He wants to talk in the back with him, but O'Neil says he isn't going there. The only thing he's doing is getting rid of the dead weight that is Darren Young. Darren Young continues to try to talk him out of it. Then O'Neil hits him with a big boot before punching away at him. And so that's it. You know, that's the end of the Primetime Players. It looks like Tyus O'Neil is going to be a heel. So guy has a lot of potential. So maybe he'll be the next big heel. So we'll see where that one goes. They show a recap of Jake Snake getting into the Hall of Fame. Up next, we have a promo from Alexander Rusev, who is the NXT guy who was in the Royal Rumble, who looked pretty good. He's got some Russian girl with him there. Like I said, I don't watch NXT. I haven't had a chance to watch it. I will watch it when WWE Network starts, so I'll probably know more about these guys. So the chamber match is going on. Oh, no, the chamber qualifying match is happening next. It's Jack Swagger against Christian. They kind of show what happens on Raw with Zeb Coulter getting in Jack Swagger's face. Really good back and forth match. It went for a while. These guys worked together before. It the end came when Christian goes to the top rope. Swagger goes up there to try to cut him off, but Christian punches him down. They hits him with a frog splash, a la Eddie Guerrero, and he gets to win. So Christian is going to be in. Is the last piece of the Elimination Chamber puzzle. So right there, we're looking at it's Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, John Cena, Sheamus, Christian, and then kind of the guy you wouldn't have guessed it was going to be, Antonio Cesaro. You could only assume that the Antonio Cesaro spot in the match would have been CM Punk's, but you know, I think we know where that. Or no, I didn't say that. I wouldn't even say that. CM Punk was going to probably have a match with Kane. So, I guess you learned something. Thinking about things. Alright. After the match, Christian is celebrating the ring, and Zeb Coulter gets in the ring, and he's looking disgusted at Jack Swagger. Daniel Rey Mysterio team with Daniel Bryan and Sheamus against the Shield in the main event tonight. So next, we got Christian walking backstage. Renee Young talks to him and walks him back, and talks about how he earned a spot in the Elimination Chamber match. He realized he'll be in there with five of the best superstars in WWE, but since he's been off with injuries, it got him thinking. The window of opportunity for him to be champion is closing, and he's going to make the best of this opportunity. So he's going to be the desperation that he has right now to the for the end of his career is going to be what makes him the most dangerous man in the match. So should be interesting. I've always liked Christian. Every time he comes on, all my wife does is call him the creepy little bastard from the little nickname that Stone Cold gave him some odd years ago. So next match is Kofi Kingston, Damian Sandow. Match ends with Kofi Kingston winning. Don't want to get into that too much. The next match coming out is going to be Cody Rhodes versus the Road Dogg. Before that, they have the Raw Rebound, which shows Brock Lesnar destroying the Rhodes family. And then they have the interview with Triple H talking to Michael Cole about it. So they also announced that the Rhodes family will take on the New Age Outlaws for the championship in a side of steel cage for Monday night. So there's that. excuse me. Next match is Cody Rhodes and the Road Dogg. Back and forth match. Road Dogg gets the win. Cody Rhodes gets the win. My bad. After winning his disaster kick. Afterwards, Billy Gunn attacks Rhodes, and Goldust makes a save. This turns into a brawl between the two tag teams. And it ends with Goldust and Cody Rhodes standing in the ring. So, you know, I'm still holding out for that hopeful, you know, Rhodes family match at WrestleMania. Now, with my main event time, it's The Shield versus Sheamus, Mysterio, and Daniel Bryan. Any match between all these guys, you know, is going to be a good match. I don't want to run down the whole... I mean, I took a little few notes, but basically at the end, Reigns just destroys Rey Mysterio with a spear to get the win, and The Shield is the winners. And then it shows at the end, The Shield is celebrating at ringside while Daniel Bryan and Sheamus are checking out Mysterio after that spear. So, of course, it looked pretty nasty. It's a midget taking a spear from Roman Reigns, who's just really pretty much destroyed everybody with that spear. So, overall, that was one of the better SmackDowns that we've had in a while, really, because... you know, usually whatever matches they've run on SmackDown, they've re-recorded for the same ones for Raw. But overall, I mean, they built some stuff up for the Elimination Chamber match. So it was pretty interesting. Not bad. Next, we'll get to take a drink there. The February 3rd edition of Monday Night Raw, which is going to be in Omaha, Nebraska. And this is gonna be the first live, you know, television show after the CM Punk you know, walking out. And so it starts off with Randy Orton coming out to the ring, and he talks about how it's bullshit. He's gotta face 5 opponents inside the Elimination Chamber and he'll win again. The thing about this was the crowd tried to get the CM Punk chants going during this, but Orton just did not stop his cadence and just kept going over on top of each other, on top of himself, to not really let them get in there. Orton talks about how he's the greatest superstar today and he's not going to be beat by anybody. Authority comes out and cuts him off. Stephanie says that Orton needs to calm down because of his history of outbursts. Orton yells, "That's not fair." Triple H tells him he has to be careful. As the face of the WWE, he can be replaced. Steffi says she can't believe she's saying this, but Daniel Bryan could be the face of the company. And they announce the match for Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. Versus Randy Orton for the main event of Raw there. So Triple H starts doing the yes chant to get the crowd going. It was obvious what they were doing here. They were just trying to already stop the crowd from doing the CM Punk chants and to get the most over guy on the crowd going, which was by doing the S chants, Daniel Bryan's chants. So it just seemed obvious right off the bat that that's the way that they were going to try to roll with this. So the CM Punk chants were kind of sporadic throughout. I'm not really going to mention it, but there is one part, when I get to it, I'll talk about where... flat out, the Omaha crowd sucked this Raw. The chants were amateurish at best, and they were dead. You know, just when they thought they could make it, the show there. It's almost like they wanted to hijack the show, like was done in Pittsburgh, but they in New Jersey last year, but they couldn't do it, and it was a very, very horrible crowd. First match is going to be The Shield versus Big E, Kofi, and Rey Mysterio. So, back and forth match. It ends when Dean Ambrose tags himself in, even though Roman Reigns was about to hit a spear. He then hits his headlock driver on Reigns on Big E Langston for the win. Afterwards, Reigns gets in his face as Seth Rollins tries to cool them all off. The Wyatt family comes on the Titantron, and Bray Wyatt says he knows that the Shield are pawns and that they will move around them until they sacrifice themselves. He says that the end is nigh and he will build his empire with his enemies fall. Luke Harper then talks, which is, I think it's the first time I've actually seen him talk. He asks if it was worth it, says, always being their king. And then Eric Rowan leans forward to the camera and tells them to run as the feet cuts. So, very interesting ending there with the Wyatts talking, like all three members of the Wyatts talking, but you can kind of see why Bray Wyatt does all of the talking for them normally. So, you know, that is what it is. Next, we get a Bad News Barrett segment, and he says, million watch Super Bowl, but in reality, they just stuff their faces with junk food. He says the people will not survive until the next Super Bowl. Then all of a sudden, Jerry Lawler gets up and says, the bad news they all hope for is they don't see Wade Barrett next week. This was just a cooler for a segment, for a Bad News Barrett segment that actually got really, you know, it got entertaining. I mean, at first, as you guys know, I was against the Bad News Barrett thing, but he got entertaining, especially when they gave him his own little podium there. And to have Jerry Lawler, of all people, to be the one to set up, and then he just, this was that lame line. It just seemed like that was a cooler for his gimmick right there. Next match is Christian when he beats Jack Swagger. After he counters a Swagger bomb into a roll-up for the pin. And, of course, Zeb Coulter is not happy about this one. Next match is the Tag Team Championship match with the Rhodes Brothers. This was a for a tag match, it was boring as hell. It was just lots of rest holds, and it was just horrible until the very end when Cody Rhodes goes up and he goes for a moonsault off the top of the cage, and then this is where I just have a problem with this example of why Road Dogg and Billy should not be back on TV. When he went for the moonsault, Road Dogg got out of the way and half-assed took it, and then it really looked like Cody Rhodes fucked his arm up. Come to find out later, he kind of twisted his knee up, but it was an awesome move that just looked botched because Road Dogg was too afraid to take it. After the moonsault, Billy Gunn comes in, hits him with a famous error, and gets the pin. Like I said, boring match, awesome spot with Cody Rhodes there with that big moonsault off the cage, but, you know, F for effort, F on the effort for Road Dogg, just basically getting out of the way, and it was horrible. I felt bad for Cody because he puts a lot, you know, these guys put a lot of faith in their opponents to help catch them, just for him to say, nope, I don't want to. So, yeah. But that was it for that match. Next match is Titus O'Neil against Zack Ryder, and he comes out and in a squash match, he hits it with his move called the Clash of the Titus. So that was it. Next segment after this is a dance-off. Oh, God. I don't even want to talk about this segment. It was just beyond horrible. Basically, it was Summer Rae doing like a quick 5-second dance. And then Emma with that weird dance thing she does in NXT that somehow has got her over. It looks very awkward and just horrible to even think about. So she wins it because the crowd votes her to win it. So bad segment, horrible filler. Moving on. Next is in a match between Sheamus and Curtis Axel. And Sheamus ends up winning it with a bro kick. And he kind of gets a stare off with Ryback at the end. So they may be teasing maybe a possible WrestleMania match between Sheamus and Ryback. So we'll see. Next up segment is Batista. He comes out to the ring to cut a promo. And, yeah, he's getting booed like crazy. Del Rio cuts him off almost immediately, and he's pretty much dressed the same way that Batista is dressed. I don't know if this was an accident or what, but they look pretty much like twins. He tells Batista they should settle their unfinished business, but Batista said he has no problem with him. Del Rio says that Batista was doing moves for the last... While Batista was doing movies for the last 4 years, he was winning major titles. He says he will make Batista beg for mercy and for Del Rio not to break his arm. Batista again said he has no problem, but Del Rio hits him with a microphone and stomps on him. He tries to go off the ropes, but Batista gets up and clotheslines him. He tries to set up a Batista bomb, but Del Rio escapes under the bottom rope and runs up the ramp. And then they have a stare-off on the stage and well, Batista thing, come back in the ring, all that stuff. Next match is the Wyatt family versus Dolph Ziggler, R-Truth, and Xavier Woods. Just a decent match. Bray Wyatt plants Ziggler with his sister Abigail to win. Afterwards, Ambrose comes on TitanTron and Mockley says they are afraid of the Wyatts. He says the Shield doesn't live in the world of haunted rocking chairs. And Rollins calls Bray delusional. He says it's even more delusional to think that they can beat the Shield. Reigns says they are standing in the Shield's yard and they will beat the Wyatts in Elimination Chamber. Bray laughs in the ring and says he welcomes the war. So, you know, decent match with a really good dialogue there at the end. Promo time there. So, yeah, that's what it was. Next match. Okay. The Divas match between Naomi and Oksana. Naomi ends up winning it with a moonsault at the turnbuckle. But the thing about this match, there was a spot where... Oksana came down on Naomi with her knee. Didn't hold back at all. You could tell Naomi hurt her eye. Come to find out later, she might have fractured some bones around her eye socket. So that's pretty cool. Oksana, who is not pretty, not good looking, fat, can't wrestle, who's on TV for no reason, yet people like, I don't know, like what's her name gets released a couple weeks ago. She's getting airtime, but I don't get it. And she's hurting people in the ring now. Afterwards, Alicia tries to attack Naomi. She goes to attack Naomi, but who cares? Cam breaks it up. The fucking deck will fight them off. AJ was on commentary for this, and very uneventful match. Main event, Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton. Now, here was the match of the 2 weeks for me. Because these two guys, sure, they fought each other a lot. I mean, not as much as Randy Orton and John Cena. But this was a very, very good match, back and forth. It ended when Kane tries to interfere, but Bryan takes him out and throws Orton over the top ropes. He dives the outside on both of them, and he drops Kane into the steel steps. When he gets back in the ring, Orton tries to go for an RKO, but Bryan counters, hits the right knee for the win. He gets the crowd in a yes chant, but Orton gets back on the apron, and Bryan fights him off, but Kane attacks him. The two gang up on him. Kane choke slams him, and they pose as Kane does his little fireworks. So what this just shows is what we were dreading with a CM Punk walkout is going to happen. It looks like they're building up for a Daniel Bryan versus Triple H match at WrestleMania. So the thing about this match, too, that another thing that occurred is here's your most over guy in the company, and the crowd's ruining it by chanting CM Punk again. So it was one of those ill-timed. If you're going to do your CM Punk chants, do it during the shitty Divas match, or the Ryback match, whatever it is. But when you have your most over guy in the ring and you're going to chant for a guy who's not even there anymore, it just showed how shitty this crowd was. So, not a great Raw, but was followed off with a fantastic match. Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton can really put on a good match. They bring out the best in each other. So, I also forgot to mention during the show that Betty White is announced for as like a guest host of the next week's Raw. Yawn. So there is that. SmackDown, February 7th from Des Moines, Iowa. Let me get caught up in my notes here. Okay, the show starts off with Daniel Bryan coming out. He gets a good reaction. Cole announced welcome to the Yes Movement. So I guess that's really what they're officially calling the Yes Movement. Daniel Bryan's in the middle of the ring. He says the crowd is great. He said last Money on Raw, the Authority said they might make him the face of WWE if he could just beat Randy Orton. What the Authority doesn't understand is that he doesn't want to be the face of the WWE. He just wants to be himself. When he beat Orton, the authorities showed their true colors when the director of operations, his old friend Kane, interfered in the match and choke slammed him. A replay is and they show a replay of that happening. But at the end of that match. After seeing the footage, Daniel Bryan looks disgusted. Ever since Kane aligned himself with the authority, he stayed out of his way. Bryan has let him do his thing, but not anymore. Not after what happened on Raw. Bryan then calls Kane out so he can understand how his former tag team partner could turn into a big red corporate sellout who stabs friends in the back. Kane comes out and stands on the stage in his suit, his beautiful suit, which evidently he used as his ring gear as well. The crowd boos him for a bit before he tries to speak. Bryan cuts him off, says he can't hear Kane from up on the ramp, especially when the crowd's booing so loud. This starts another yes chant. Bryan tells him to come down to the ring to talk face to face. Kane says that won't be necessary. On behalf of the authority, he is here to apologize for his actions on Monday. He is not permitted to engage in any physicality with any superstar without provocation. He acted on his own volition. It was unprofessional, improper, and unfitting of someone in a professional office. So basically, they're picking up the entire CM Punk Triple H, angle right here with Daniel Bryan being that guy. So, Daniel Bryan asked what he's talking about, and he is Kane, the devil's favorite demon. Bryan asked if he remembers the time when they were in Team Hell No. They hugged it out many times live on television. What happened to that Kane? And Kane just looks at him. He says Kane helped him. And Kane, despite it all, became his friend. The authority tried to put him in a $1,000 suit, but he told him to stick it where the sun doesn't shine. He was hoping Kane would have done the same thing. But unfortunately, he's embraced it. Bryan speaks on behalf of the WWE Universe. Bryan tells Kane to take his cheap tie off, get his mask out of the damn office, and get rid of that stupid corporate Kane. And this breaks out another yes chant. Kane says Bryan is right. They do have history, but it's exactly that history. Kane has traded in that undisclosed location somewhere in the bowels of the arena for a corner office, and he couldn't be happier. He's glad that their tag team days are over, and Kane tells Bryan, understand they are not friends. The crowd chants, you sold out. Kane says they are never friends. He said a very wise man once said, in this business, you can make friends or you can make money. And Kane says he's doing pretty well for himself right now. Bryan says that's he has different priorities for different people. Bryan considers himself to be doing very well right now, but that's because he has an entire arena full of friends right here. And since Kane doesn't care about friends, how about he comes down to the ring and they settle this like two men who aren't friends? Kane said that ain't gonna happen. However, since Bryan's in the mood for action, he's more than happy to allow him to compete. As an act of good faith and on behalf of the authority, he has scheduled Bryan in a match which is best for business against a superstar who's also in the Elimination Chamber match, Antonio Cesaro. Kane says good luck and all that stuff. And then Bryan leads in a yes champ as they rave. So, this is the first real interaction between Kane and Daniel Bryan in a promo capacity, except for the time that he put him in the 1-on-3 match for the Night of Champ or TLC pay-per-view, my bad. So good back and forth. Kane's not bad on the mic, he really is. I know he wants to be a politician, so I like the corporate Kane thing. It's entertaining, it's different. They announced that the main event tonight will be Randy Orton taking on Christian, as Randy Orton is supposed to take on every member of the Elimination Chamber match in the coming weeks before the actual Elimination Chamber match. Excuse me. Almost done. Halfway through this biatch. First match we finally get to it is Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston. Seth Rollins is on commentary during the match. And during the match, he constantly insinuates that Cole's insinuation that there's problems in the Shield is asinine, and he just keeps bringing it up that there's no problems there. Decent match. It goes back and forth. It ends when I can't read my notes. Oh yeah, it ends when Ziggler takes a spear from Reigns. So of course the Baron Ziggler continues. He's the one that's got to take the pinfall. I gotta start typing my notes up like Paul does. after the pinfall, Ambrose just stares at Reigns before calling Ziggler for the win. So he gets the move, and Ambrose gets the ring. After the match, Ambrose isn't happy with Reigns for sort of showing him up, and Rollins gets in between them again to play peacekeeper. Then we get the Wyatt family on a video screen. Lights go out, and Luke Harper appears on the screen whistling a haunting theme. Bray Wyatt then comes into the shot with Eric Rowan, and Wyatt is laughing. Wyatt says the Shield is bickering like children, consumed with pride. They're trying to see who in the Shield has the sharpest teeth. Wyatt says the Shield believes him to be a facade. Wyatt says that they could only see the monster that lives behind his eyes. They had realized how real he is. Harper said they don't deny we'll be the first ones to burn. Wyatt tells them to follow the buzzards. So, you know, building up that match that everyone's looking forward to seeing, just to be the continuation of the Shield's demise. Next match is Ryback versus Curtis Axel. Not a good match at all. But here's the kind of thing. They're really, you know, you see all the rumors about WrestleMania. And one of the rumors now is Sheamus versus Ryback at WrestleMania, but they're going to give you this match here and expect you to forget that Sheamus pretty much squashes him with a bro kick. So, you know, it is what it is. They show a clip of Michael Cole's weekly interview with Triple H. He talks about how Randy Orton thought to prove in his gauntlet attempt for the Elimination Chamber opponents, because right now he's 0-1. And they talk about tonight Christian will take on Randy Orton in the main event, and Daniel Bryan will take on Cesaro. Show a preview for Legends House. That's one show on the WWE Network. I really don't have any I have an inkling to even watch it. Renee Young is in the back with Alberto Del Rio. They show a replay of the Del Rio attacking Batista. Renee asks him why he continues to antagonize Batista. Del Rio says Batista is an animal that belongs in the circus. Batista is the animal, and he is a trainer. He knows how to train animals. He'll turn him into a little puppy drinking milk from a saucer. And then he speaks in Spanish and then walks off. That's what it is. Go to commercial, come back. He announced that Mark Henry will make his return on Monday at Raw. So it'll be good to have Mark Henry back after getting destroyed by Brock Lesnar for a couple weeks. Next matchup is Antonio Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan. And these two put on a clinic, really good, longer match. It just seems like, that old term that Bret Hart Bret the Hitman Hart could have a match, a five-star match with a broom. Daniel Bryan is right there, too. Good match. And it ends with Daniel Bryan taking him down with a head scissor into the yes lock, and then Cesaro taps out. So, really good match. Afterwards, Daniel Bryan begins to celebrate, but Kane's power roll explodes, and he comes out. He slowly makes his way to the ring. Cesaro then attacks Bryan from behind and lays him out with a neutralizer. Kane then gets in the ring, and he choke slams Daniel Bryan, and then makes turnbuckles explode. So, yep, there's that. I don't want to repeat myself on what's going on there. Renee Young is backstage with Randy Orton. Asked for his thoughts on the authority making him face each member of the Elimination Chamber combatants in the ring. He doesn't want to talk about his professional relationship with the authority. He's here to talk about Daniel Bryan, how many times he's beaten him. He said Daniel Bryan beat him on Raw was a fluke. Tonight he faces Christian, and he'll beat him. Next week on Raw, he'll beat John Cena, and then he'll beat Sheamus, and then Antonio Cesaro, and Elimination Chamber. He'll beat all of them and remain the greatest superstar of this generation or any other. Next, we have AJ coming out to the ring with Tamina Snuka. It's AJ versus Nikki Bella, women's match. AJ wins with the Black Widow thing. Don't even want to talk about it. These matches are... I hate the Bella Twins. I wish they could get them off TV. I guess if you're fucking the right superstars, you'll get on TV more often. Replay is then shown of the primetime players breaking up on SmackDown. And how, that little thing happened. Tyson's backstage with a microphone. He then introduces Renee Young, who he claims is dying to interview. Young says Young may be Mr. No Days Off, but for 731 days he was off. He asked Renee if she knows how many titles he could have won in 731 days. O'Neill says Young has a lot of great qualities, like nice hair, but he's not him. He's got everything, looks, smell, and smile. The only way he'll be carrying going further is WWE Championship Gold. Renee Young walks off, and then a young Darren Young comes up and attacks him. Referees kind of break it up. So, yeah, that was it. Up next, we have Goldust versus Bray Wyatt. First, we have a pre-tape interview at show with Goldust and Cody Rhodes. Goldust says they are desperate. Cody Rhodes did a death-defying moonsault off the top of the cage on Monday night, but they couldn't get the titles back. Tonight, Goldust will take the risk. Rhodes says desperate men do desperate things. So, it was a little shorter match. It ends with Goldust hitting the Sister Abigail's kiss for the win. Afterwards, Cody Rhodes comes and puts himself on top of his brother to protect him from the Wyatt family. The Shield then appear on the Titantron. Dean Ambrose says the Wyatts called them bickering children, which is cute. Ambrose warns them because they're talking to the Hounds of Justice. They have a lot of pride because they are the best unit in this industry. When they get them in the ring in the Elimination Chamber, they'll own them. Seth Rollins says they don't care if they're monsters or men. They're not afraid of them. He'll scrape the beards off their face and... I really got to write better notes. Anyways, boot cost them their opportunity. Roman Reigns says the Wyatts just don't understand. One of them would have become world champion. Unfortunately for them, they know a few methods of making people understand. Ambrose says it's time for some justice. Believe in the Shield. And they do the whole little fist thing. It's going to be a pretty decent match, I think. Up next, Christian versus Randy Orton. What can you say about these two? These are two guys who just work well together. Another great match. And then it ends with Orton countering Christian's kill switch in for the RKO, and he gets the win. And then that was that. So good match there at the end. Good Daniel Bryan match. You know, not a bad SmackDown. It really, like I said before, it really seems like they're trying to go away to make into SmackDown just another shit show, you know, a sideshow. And it means something now. So, you know, that's a good deal. Take another drink. And then I got one more show to cover, and that was this last week's Monday Night Raw. The show starts off with a Big Show coming out with Betty White in the entrance ramp. She promised to have some kick-ass Monday night. And then Triple H and Stephanie come past them and kind of take the attention off them. Triple H said that he is considering Daniel Bryan as the face of the WWE as promised, but he also is considering Christian, Sheamus, and everybody else compete in the Elimination Chamber. Randy Orton refused to hear any more of this, and he walked down. He called himself foolish and childish, and he apologized to his bosses. He tried to talk about being the Viper once again, but the fans in the stable center chant loudly for Punk and Daniel Bryan during this whole time. So the Punk chants were there. Bryan then came out and said he demanded a match with Kane. McMahon said that she already dealt with him by putting a letter of reprimand in his file. And Bryan salted Triple H and McMahon. Orton barked at him in the game, gave Daniel Bryan the night off. So, that was a segment. Just boring. Not good. Not good at all. Daniel Bryan came out, probably saved it just so the crowd can chant yes. Next match is the Wyatt family versus Rey Mysterio and the Rhodes brothers. Back and forth match. It ended with the Wyatt family getting the win. Yeah, man, I took really bad notes for this one. I came back late from work that day, so I just started writing down as best I could. That was what it was. Not a bad match. Just showing that the Wyatt family is ready for their match. Yeah, ready for their match with the Shield. So there it is. We then get a Shield interview. Rollins says something like they'd love to speak in riddles. We don't. We speak in absolutes. Reigns called Renee Young baby girl. So he's gonna be one of those slick little guys who can get the ladies. My wife loves Roman Reigns. I said he must look good. She goes, yeah, he does. Yeah, that's what it is. They then give Ambrose a lot of shit for his lack of United States title defenses. It ends with Ambrose saying that he's going to issue an open challenge for that night. It was just a good teaser to keep showing to keep showing the breakup of the Shield, and you know he's gonna come out and have an open challenge for his title, which you know should be interesting. In the back we have Betty White with the Divas, and the New Age Outlaws come and they get her away, and they invite her to come drink some tea with them. While they're drinking tea, you see Road Dogg slip something into her tea. While they go away, she apparently knows something happens and switches them around. I don't really understand that part of this segment, but you know, it's just something to get Betty White out there. Next match is Santino versus Fandango, and during this match, The Miz comes out and starts complaining about not being actually he did it the week before. I forgot to mention it. During last week's Raw, but he came out talking about how these two jokers are out here, but he doesn't get a chance to come out. So, he says that Santino's shtick is about as old as Betty White. So, you know, whatever. This is another bad segment. I like to see where the whole Miz bitching about not getting on TV thing is going, because that's probably the most interesting thing going on. Next match is Christian and Sheamus versus the Real Americans. Brian Sexton interviews Sheamus before the match, asking how he feels about teaming with his former foe, Christian. Sheamus says he respected him and would perhaps share a pint with him afterwards to celebrate their win. Before the match starts, a little interesting thing here is Zeb Coulter said Antonio Cesaro will start the match. So it's pretty obvious where this one's gonna go. Jack Swagger is gonna take the pinfall on this one, just to kind of catch shit from Seth Coulter, and that's what happens after a bro kick. Sheamus and Christian get the win. No signs of any kind of dissension between Sheamus and Christian. Pretty good match, though. Everybody in this is going to be good. It's going to be good to see the Real Americans split up. Maybe they'll have a little feud going into it. It'll be one of the mid-card matches at WrestleMania. So I just see Cesaro is going to have a nice babyface run here afterwards. I also saw on something this week that he dropped the Antonio from his name. So that's pretty cool. He's going to be called Cesaro. Next match is Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio. And Alberto Del Rio wins this match really, really quick. He kicked him in the head and got the pin. So I think we pretty much called Dolph Ziggler out having any kind of meaningful run with anything in the WWE. So, yeah, that's not anything good. After the match is over, he gets back on, clamps the arm breaker on Dolph Ziggler. Batista runs in and just beats the hell out of him, and ends up putting him through the table. Afterwards, which was for a shit match, it was Batista coming out and destroying him, kind of gave it a little bit of something that the match didn't have. It just kind of showed the viciousness of Batista to finally do something. Afterwards, in the back, Triple H runs into him and says, "You can have a match. You can't do things like that, but you can have a match with Del Rio at the Elimination Chamber." So the match that nobody wanted is going to happen. Next match up is the Usos versus Curtis Axel and Ryback. Not a bad match. During the match, the New Age Outlaws were on commentary, and you could tell Billy Gunn was having some kind of irritable bowel syndrome problems, Paul. Something I don't have. And that part is actually kind of funny. The whole time, Billy Gunn never said anything because you could tell he was feeling ill. Usos got the win after the big splash and on Axel. And then you see Billy Gunn kind of going hightailing it to the back. Looking like he's shit himself. One of the funny lines during it was Road Dogg looking at Billy Gunn saying, "For once in your life, you do not look good." So that's kind of funny. So Betty White got her way on them. Next match out is the Shield comes out and Dean Ambrose lays out his open challenge for the U.S. title, and it's returning Mark Henry. These guys actually have a pretty good match. As Mark Henry's about to win, the Shield get in and beat up Mark Henry. So he wins by disqualification. They kind of beat him up. And then the Wyatt family comes down. And they each kind of made separate moves to get in the ring to have a face-off, just teasing a possible fight with him. But in the end, the Wyatts backed off and went to the back. And it was just the way to it kind of made the Shield look more like the faces, and the Wyatts still with being the heels. But not bad. But it set up the match. I can't wait to see that match. To me, that's gonna be the it has the possibility of being the match of the show, besides the Elimination Chamber matches, because who's in the match. So next matchup is the Bellas versus the Funkadactyls. Don't care. The Funkadactyls put Alicia Fox away with a DDT. That was Cameron and the Bellas. I'm sorry. Cameron and the Bella Twins versus AJ Lee. God, I really got to write better notes. AJ Lee, Oksana, and Alicia Fox. They talk about how Naomi is on the shelf because of her injury from Oksana, who still has a job. I don't know why. There was a time in here where Nikki did the worm. Looked like shit. Match was horrible. Don't care about it. Going on to the next one. Kane comes out, and he told the fans he accepted the responsibility for his attack on Daniel Bryan, announced he's going to go on administrative leave. Daniel Bryan ended that speech early, rushed in the ring, and started getting into it with Kane. He went to chokeslam Daniel Bryan, but he slipped out and knocked Kane out of the ring, and he ended up doing a nice dive outside of the ring onto Kane, and then Kane took off. I don't see Kane versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, but it'll probably be possibly the Raw after the Elimination Chamber, just to set up the Triple H match. And last match was John Cena versus Randy Orton, and nobody wants to see this one again. I don't even want to talk about it. John Cena wins, and then it's the same match you've seen a million times between John Cena and Randy Orton, so it deserves no extra attention on my part. So that's about it. A couple of notes too to throw on to the shows for the last 2 weeks is they got a little bit away, something I noticed, of plugging the app as much, and of course talking more about the WWE Network. And really the only way you're going to really be able to watch Network is it's some kind of app update that the app is going to have the day of the day they launch the Network. So really looking forward to watching it. I know Paul is, because you don't have to search too much to find his shows for his NitroCast broadcast. That's pretty much what it is. They showed you how to what it's going to have a bunch of times, how you're going to get it, and what platforms you're going to be able to get it on. I have an Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 4, so I'll probably, when I move down to North Carolina here in a couple months, I'll have one in my man cave and one down in my main room, so I can watch them both anywhere I go in my house. And on top of that, my phone and my iPod and all that good stuff. So, what else, too, I want to talk about before I sign off here? I don't know. Like I said, it was a couple good matches thrown in there, a couple matches where you don't care about. I really just hate talking about any Divas match. I think it's a waste of my breath and waste of you guys having to hear about it. Then you see it for yourself. You just, nobody wants that shit. So, WWE's moving on without CM Punk. I'm not anticipating him coming back. And no one else should be either. A couple other things. I know they're still working out the contract with Sting. I know Hogan and Undertaker have been confirmed for the app day, the 24th. They will be on Raw that day. So Hogan and Undertaker will be back, and Undertaker will start pushing for his match against, I'm still assuming, Brock Lesnar. But I guess Sting, who's still in contract negotiations, wants to have his match with Undertaker at WrestleMania. So I guess WWE's not big on trying to get Sting, but hey, we'll see. So far, three people have been announced for the Hall of Fame: Jake the Snake, The Ultimate Warrior, and Lita was announced as Pash Raw. I know I missed that. I saw, I read somewhere that Scott Hall might be inducted to the Hall of Fame, so I guess it's the former Addicts guys are going to go in now. So that's cool. Oh, another note, I got my own DDP yoga this week. I used the Steve Austin podcast password and got that. So I'm going to get started on that this weekend. So that's going to be fun. And I think I'm done talking. I'm going on an hour here, and I'm ready to load this fucker up and go to bed. Thanks for listening, if you are listening. I hope you care for my take on wrestling. Some good things happening, but, you know, the WrestleMania card is, I have my predictions. You know, it's a good and bad thing that we're not really too sure exactly what's going to happen for WrestleMania. There's talks of triple threat match for the WWE title, just to get Daniel Bryan in there. There's talks of, you really don't know. So it's going to, Elimination Chamber is going to be the step in that direction. So so we'll see from there, and hope we get a better Raw tomorrow night or on Monday night. And I know SmackDown was last night. I'll give that a watch probably tomorrow. And just got on watching NASCAR. I'm a NASCAR fan, so watch the Olympics. There's some good stuff going on in the Olympics. Team USA won today. That was pretty good. And I think that's about it. Check me out on Twitter at Cast of Champion or at Mike Spiesman. Go to Facebook.com/Cast of Champions and also go and check out my BFF Paul's Nitrocast. Good stuff. This past week he covered probably one of the worst pay-per-views in the history of wrestling, the NWO sold out from 1997. I remember that. It was pretty bad. I didn't watch it, but I remember it from when I was 16 years old. Go check it out. It's a good listen. It keeps you entertained. Probably more entertaining than me. I hope I don't bore you guys too much. But you know what? Have a good night. You stay classy, San Diego. maybe I should turn that somehow into my sign-off. You stay classy, WWE Universe, Internet Wrestling Community, whatever it is. Okay, I'm done. Peace out.